the story from creation to the Gospels to the narrative of the early church is not life with perfect followers. Rather, all true human seekers who misstep, sometimes in small ways and other times quite dramatically. And so we always come to the table bringing our flaws, our shortcomings, our addictions, our depression, our fears, our estrangements, and our lamentation. Lamentation is a tough word for us. We misunderstand it as complaining or even whining. It's neither of those things. Lamentation is not complaining about getting a parking ticket. Managerial situation. Lamentation is about claiming our full selves, including those things that cause deep pain and hardship done by us or done to us, and in our context, sharing them with God. Maybe you could share them with a friend or a partner or a counselor as well, but when we come to this place, we lament by sharing lamentation with God, who welcomes it, who expects it, and God can handle it, even when a lament is about God. The big question is why and how. Lament can lead to all kinds of things, positive things, repentance, recovery, reconciliation. For each of us, for all of us, that's the case, but it's also true in the life of a community. When we tend to shy away from the Book of Lamentations, from which we just read, but again, the lectionary invites us into this book, this week, a deep consideration of our individual and communal call to lament. Remember the context of the Book of Lamentations. Collection of poems lamenting the destruction of Jerusalem. It's generally accepted that that destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon around 580 or so before the Common Era forms the background of all of this. So just imagine. Imagine your city. Imagine your culture. Imagine your religion. Imagine your life. Destroyed. Destroyed. It is almost unimaginable. Yet it happens still. And so the unnamed writer of the words mourn and mourn deeply. God had deserted the city. The city had been destroyed. And then the writer calls in these words for the ultimate return of God. Funeral prayer in which the bereaved crowd address the dead is the city, the tongue is bleak, God is silent. The degree of suffering is understood as being undeserved. Expectations about the future are minimal. And as Greg said and read, and using this feminine imagery, we hear this, how lonely since the city. Like a widow she has become. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks, suffering, serving in distress and desolation. Something catastrophic has happened. And we hear honest, raw, and real grief, spoken to the people, spoken to the universe, spoken to God. Psalm 137, we heard just a little bit of it, reflects on that destruction of Jerusalem after it's happened, after the people have been taken into exile and captivity, the tears of destruction turning into the tears of exile. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we went, we remember. So much grief, so much sadness. So many deep and real tears. What's extraordinary to me about all of this is that not only does stated that God is good enough to receive it. And yet, even as we utter those words, we say them not as the final word, but as a word along the way. That's why fixing the table is problematic to me. It's what presents in self-delusion, a kind of theological wishful thinking that is a mile wide and an inch deep is not helpful to actually take us to a worse place. Sense of trust that whether enduring cancer or abuse or loneliness, whether enduring famine or oppression, that God is present, that God hears our lamentation. Paul writes to Timothy to give thanks and encouragement. Recalling your tears, Paul says, there's those tears again. I want to support your faith. Paul kindles Timothy's sense of love and power so that the faith entrusted to him might prevail. That's what communion does. It's not magic, erasing our deep grief and hardship, or making the very profound and complex brokenness of the world somehow disappear like a divine delete key on your keyboard. Rather, it's a first step. Fortifying us for the journey, placing our lamentation and all of human suffering in a deeper context. We will come to the table in just a few moments. No fences, no tokens needed, simply an open heart, an open spirit, and a willingness to bring your full self, just as you are. Bring the deep brokenness of the world with you. As you are mindful of those who are coming to the table with you, those in front and back and side to side, envision others as well. My friend in Kenya, perhaps. Around the world, through time. Imagine their hurts and their pains. Imagine their tears. Imagine. Because at this